So again, I'd like to greet each and every one of you. It's good to see a lot of friendly faces here. Those that are live streaming, welcome as well. I really enjoy being in the company of my brothers and sisters and to be able to not be a part of the world that's out there on a day that the Lord has given us, to be able to come and to fellowship and to visit with Him. I'm grateful for that. It's been a pretty good trial this week for me. I'm going to go through a few things here, and I really appreciate the abilities that the Lord gives us in times of adversity. I know that many of you have been going through adversity through these recent days, and I kind of look at it as if all of us get our turn in that, and this week has been my turn. I just kind of want to do a little bit of a background of a situation that I'm currently going through and what has transpired, so you can all get an idea of, you know, some of those things that are struggles for us. But with the Lord's help, He helps us through them. So, you know, as many of you do know, I am a supervisor at Sky Harbor Airport, and we have a lot of people that we take care of there. We take care of the airport in itself with basically all the facilities and services. Our group also supports the fire department, the police department, airport operations, a lot of important folks at the airport that help keep it safe and up and running. And we also have a really big project going on there. I've explained that a few times. We have the SkyTrain going through there, and it's causing a couple of issues as of one that I've had to deal with this week since Tuesday morning, and I've lost a lot of sleep over it, and it's been a trial each and every day. It's been a struggle. It really brought me to places that I don't like to go, but in those places, I really appreciate the Lord's ability to help us be that what He calls us to be. It can be a struggle for a lot of us at a lot of times, and I've had my fair share of those struggles in my life and really have failed at that. And through this trial and tribulation, I promised to the Lord that I wasn't going to fail. I was going to be that person He called me to be. So what has transpired? Well, basically, we supply fuel for all those folks that support the airport, its operations, and the care for it. Tuesday morning, early in the morning, we had a scheduled shutdown at our weld shop, which is right behind my fleet shop. And it kind of ties together with the fleet shop, the power for all that. That's what I mean by a shutdown. A scheduled shutdown is where they shut down the power. And the project manager had to get into one of their electrical panels and see what was going on with the way things were wired up, how it's wired up, because they're going to be tying into that panel for part of the project. Well, when that project or that scheduled shutdown was taking place, they shut off the power because they got to do things safely, as you can imagine. And when they shut off the power, the generator turned on. There's backup emergency generators at the airport, and the generator turned on. So they decided that, well, the generator can't be on either because it's still supplying power to this panel, and they can't do what they need to do safely. And so they shut off the generator, which is okay. And the thing is that when they restored the power, some of you are aware of it, that you got to do that a certain way, or else you're going to have a See, Andy's already laughing because he knows. You have a power surge if you don't. And so you got control measures in place to prevent that from happening. And I don't think the project manager is going to be looking into it, but I don't think those control measures were in place to be able to prevent that from happening. So most of your outlets in a building typically are 120 volts. And a lot of our outlets at the fleet shop ended up dead. The computers were down, and unfortunately, our fuel island went down. So that means all the folks, police, fire, operations, airside, landside operations, those are the folks that help the planes out, show them where they need to go, and make sure that the airside of the airport stays safe. None of those folks had fuel, nor the 900 other pieces of equipment and vehicles that are there to be able to pick up the trash, to be able to clean the airport, to be able to support all the buildings as well. And so guess who's the lucky guy? That would be me. So everybody knew who I was at that point. And, you know, it was an interesting situation because in those types of situations, I'm sure each one of you can imagine that your mind is starting to go 100 miles an hour really quick with all the different variables that you got to put in place to take care of business and keep the operation running. And so in that type of situation that I've never been in before, the first thing I decided to do was to say a prayer and to ask the Lord to be able to help me through this, because basically our fuel island, the control systems that allow the fuel to be dispensed into vehicles, in simple terms, the company that we deal with that helps that system operate said that the brains were scrambled on that motherboard for the whole entire system. And so I had to get multiple people involved with this, a lot of stakeholders in a situation like that. We have the contracted vendor that comes out that oversees the entire fuel site. I had to get IT support to be able to help with that. I also had to get the company called Fuel Master on the phone to be able to remote in from my computer, which is across the way in the building, up the stairs, down the hall from the fuel site system, which was very, I got my steps in for the week, let me just tell you that. But also I had to get the company a certified technician for the dispensers to come out, which dispense the fuel, to be on site as well to support this. And so there was multiple variables going on here. And the first thing I had to start doing was to make sure that these people were taken care of to be able to continue to fuel their vehicles. And so we have contingency plans in place to be able to support that. Are a lot of people happy about it? No, they're not, because a lot of people I found out this week are very habitual. So it's amazing when you disturb people's habits how disgruntled they get very quickly, because they have to do something a different way. That was very interesting. And you know, I look out and I see so many friendly faces. This is probably one of the first times this week I actually feel good about talking to people. It's been very challenging. But in all seriousness, it was definitely, and still is, because the problem is not resolved yet. You know, we had problems compound upon problems. And I know and I see a lot of us here that deal with stuff like that, you know, in your own personal lives. And you know, I said that it's everybody's turn sooner or later. We're all gonna go through one of those trials, and it was really important to me. I said, okay, God's gonna look at me at this situation and see how Gary handles it. And you know, I don't wanna think of it as a test, but I wanna think of it as something that we do to be able to glorify the Lord. And that was my first and foremost thing, is to be able to pray about it, ask the Lord for his help. Help me have patience. Help me be able to focus and to break this down. And what he had told me to do was to keep it simple. What is the first thing you got to do? It's to serve the people to the best of the ability so that the airport operations don't get disrupted. And so that was my focus. And so we put things into place that were capable of doing that, and to be able to provide fuel on site for people, which really is panning out very well at this point. But I wanted to start in, I thought of this scripture here, and it's in Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7, and this is really what has been on my heart. And it says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now I'm going to go back here and read a couple of definitions in here. And in verse 5 it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." And that word moderation, every definition that I have here is going to come from Merriam-Webster's dictionary. And that term is avoiding extremes of behavior or expression. And I think about that, and I thought about that. Yes, this is a situation where you need to avoid that. Because if I start freaking out and going crazy about what am I going to do, what am I going to do, how am I going to do that, you know, that's not going to fit the bill. That's not going to be a good representation of the Lord. I need to be calm and temperate, which is the other definition to this as well. It goes along with it. And so in these situations, these emotions are running high. It's interesting because I look at a lot of people that have wisdom and knowledge in these types of situations, not just at my workplace, but also in life in general. And I really appreciate that. You know, the brothers that I look up to and those at work, my peers that I look up to. And we have a lot of situations that unfold at the airport. And I watch them in during these times of crisis. And I see the calmness that they have, the approach that they have. When we have things going on within the church, just that mannerism of the Lord's Spirit working within us, how that makes a difference for us to be able to focus in these times of trials, through these struggles that we have, through the adversity that we, to have adversity through the situations that we go through. The Lord gives us that capability. And it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That word supplication is to ask humbly and earnestly of. You know, well, that's something that really, honestly, earnestly have I been praying about this situation. Every day was a trial, so it's still ongoing. And every day I told the guys, my peers at work, that, you know, when I take something on, you know, I put 110% effort into it. I try as hard as possible, but this is a little bit different. And I knew that I was going to lose sleep over it as soon as it happened. I knew it was going to happen. So I told the guys, I said, you know, this is exactly who I am. I'm going to go home. I'm going to be completely exhausted. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be pondering in my thoughts. And I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to fall asleep as soon as my head hits the pillow. Thank the Lord for that. But what's going to happen is I'm going to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. My eyes are going to be wide open. And I'm going to be thinking about what is the next step that I have to do this next day to be able to help this situation out and restore things back to normal. And so Wednesday morning came along after a long, hard day outside all day from 6 o'clock in the morning till I don't even know what time I stayed. I think it was 9 o'clock at night that night. Yeah, it was 9 o'clock at night. And go home, eat my dinner. Didn't eat lunch all day. And that's another thing about me, too, is that if I don't eat, I get very grumpy. And I knew that was part of this whole equation because I could turn into, as my mother-in-law says, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And so none of that happened, and I was very appreciative of that. But, man, I was just completely mentally and physically exhausted at the end of the day. And so the Wednesday came, and I got to work, and I told all the guys, and we have an airport emergency preparedness team. My friend Chris that I've known for 9 years now, very great guy, and I told him all this was going to happen. And as soon as I get to work, unlock my office to put my lunch down to go back downstairs, start addressing the problem. Chris called up and the phone rang, and I said, hey, Chris, you know what I told you yesterday about me waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning? He said, yeah, did that happen? I said, no, I woke up at 3. So, you know, every day was like that, and I knew it was going to happen. I kind of know myself now at this stage, and it really is who we are, and knowing yourself is an important part of preparing for what's to come or the situations that you're in. And I think with the struggles that we have within ourselves, knowing that is an important factor to be able to help and to ask the Lord and through supplication of the strength that we need to be able to get through that. And so, you know, I was really, really worried about this whole situation. By no means do I think that my job has been on the line because this is one of those situations where I mitigate the issue. The issue was something that was uncontrolled. I do have the project manager looking into that. But again, I just feel that responsibility of being able to take care of these people. And I think that's a good thing. I really do. I think it's one of those things that builds character, that helps us be able to be better Christians, that we can reflect back upon and be able to see what went wrong, how it went wrong, what can we do in the future to do it right. And I was looking at this thing wholly through a spiritual aspect, and it really, really came to fruition that, you know, our spiritual walk is the same way. We're going to go through these trials. This life, it can be difficult. And, you know, I was explaining this to my daughter this week as we were studying for her baptism, that, you know, through all these difficult situations, know that the first person that you need to go to is the Lord. You know, I told her that I'm her father. I'll always be there for her, but I will not always be there for her. But our Father in heaven will be there for us always. We can always rely upon him. You know, he gives us that strength to be able to do that, to overcome and to help us through these situations, and to do it in a manner that is pleasing to him, and that is a light towards others. And so, you know, being really worried about it, I was putting this together, and I wanted to go to 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and just read one verse in there. It's verse 7. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I looked at sound mind up. It's only used once in all of the gospel in the Bible. And it means to have discipline and self-control. And it also means an admonishing or calling to soundness of mind, to moderation and self-control. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know, what are some of the attributes of a sound mind? So I started doing some research on that. It's a few different attributes that I came up with here that I wanted to share with you, was that it allows us to be more particular as to what we say and how we say it. A lot of people were coming up. You can see that they're frustrated. You can feel it, and you can hear it as well. A lot of people were very frustrated with it. There's an inconvenience to people that is not appreciated sometimes, but in these types of situations, there needs to be understanding. And for me to have understanding that they're going to be frustrated is very good, because it also helps me be temperate and forbearing, and to know that we're doing the best we can, we're serving as best as we can, we're trying to get things back in place to make life normal, right? Normal life. How often does that happen? I think many of us can agree to that, that that's probably about 10% of our lives are normal. So other attributes, it influences our words, our actions, and our conduct, how we present ourselves, how we carry ourselves, what we say to other people, and how we say it, the actions we take moving forward in any situation to be able to make sure that we're doing it in a Christian manner. It really, really does develop patience, because as I'm chomping on the bit to get this fuel island up and running, that is just having a positive attitude and knowing that, okay, here's me during the day. Basically, we're going to get with the company, we're going to fix this, and we're going to put these conditions in place so people can go and still keep their fuel coming into their vehicles. And when I do that, and because I do that, and because I put all the effort into that, this fuel site's going to be up and running. You know, that's my positive attitude. Taking it to that place to where, because I'm doing all this, all that effort that I'm putting into it is going to be for naught, because it's going to get up and running, which I'm okay with, because that's what I wanted to happen. And it just wasn't happening. And every little thing that we tried, it just wasn't happening. It just wasn't happening. So my patience was starting to run out. It got to the point to where one company that we had to bring into place that translates the data from the system that allows fuel to the gas dispensers, the gentleman that knew everything about it was on vacation. And the gentleman that was answering the phones didn't have a clue of what was going on. And so I very patiently asked that gentleman, well, I explained the situation, that we're the fifth largest airport in the nation, and I have to provide fuel for all these folks, as I explained earlier. Could you please call the owner? I'd hate to disrupt his vacation, but we're kind of at a critical stage here, and there's a sense of urgency. I'm just not a stubborn customer that wants to get their fuel site up and running. And so he actually reached out to him, got the owner on the phone. Patiently did I wait, and we worked through this situation with him as well, and we're still working on that, so it's going to continue Monday. And one of the things that I notice is some of the folks around me as well, you know, you can tell that they're running out of patience. We have the technology side of it, we have the vendor side of it, and a lot of people were starting to get frustrated. Even the company that I was dealing with over the phone that was remoting in to my computer was starting to get frustrated, but through all that, exercising that patience was so important to me, because if I knew that I lost that patience, I would lose control, and that the adversary, Satan, would have his handle on me, and then everything would spiral out of control, and then we'd really be in a bad situation, which I'm thankful for the Lord of that, because, you know, this verse here, to have that sound mind also provides that clear judgment, the understanding of knowing that you're going to have all this chaos going on around you, but to be able to have clear judgment in those situations is very critical, because then you can make educated guesses on what the next step is. You can bring in your resources to help you out. And in these times of chaos, to be able to focus and make the right decisions is really important, because it doesn't just have an impact on you. It has an impact on everyone around you. I know that we have police officers in our midst and also firefighters, and it's probably something that they can relate to as well, going into situations where you don't know exactly what's going to unfold, but to have that clear judgment of what you've been trained to do and how you've been trained to do it and what we receive from the gospel, when we apply that, it really helps us to be able to make those decisions that are good for those that are around us, good decisions as the Lord expects. And so, you know, one of the things I wanted to kind of talk about is being able to, with that sound mind, to have self-control and self-discipline. And that's one of the things I was telling my daughter that, you know, many times have I lost that control, have let my emotions get the best of me. And we all go through that. And I was explaining to a brother last night in a conversation that we had, a short conversation, that so many times as I have been growing spiritually, you know, there's always situations, I always think of them as little tests that we have. And being a mechanic and doing those things, trying to get something fixed, you could get frustrated in those situations as well. And those frustrations can lead to outbursts, and you know, good things don't become of it. And I always thought it was really funny, because not funny, but a learning experience, I've gained wisdom for that, is that, you know, these situations that we go through, these little trials, little ones in our daily life, when we lose it, when our emotions get the best of us, when Satan has that little jab on us and it helps him for us to be able to lose control, how in those situations that I was in, that as soon as I got to that point and something happened, that whatever I was doing worked. And I either put the component on, I could get it on, and it worked out right. You know, the bolt went in the hole. And it was after I lost it. And I thought about that for a long time. And, you know, even though I accomplished what I set out to do, I felt like I failed, because I didn't do it that the way the Lord wanted me to do it. It was like a little life lesson. It was really interesting. And time again, you know, it takes that exercise of our emotions and awareness that we have to have that sound mind to say, no, stop. Satan's not going to win in this little battle, you know, because how are wars won? They're through winning a lot of little battles. And so, you know, when we're fighting, when we're struggling day by day, when we're feeling those emotions and we're feeling like we're losing patience, that's when we really got to step up. That's when we really got to exercise that self-control, to be able to have that self-discipline. And I'll have a perfect situation for that. So we also have terrorist liaison officers. We have canine officers. We have police officers. We have TSA. We have Securitas. We have all kinds of security coming in. And there was this one situation, and it was a gentleman. I'm not going to mention any names. And he came up, he was a canine officer, and he said, Gary, man, I need some fuel. I need some fuel bad. And I had a 500-gallon trailer. It was down to 250 gallons, so we're rationing fuel out, 10 to 15 gallons per vehicle. And I said, okay, we're going to go ahead and take care of you. And, you know, back up right here. We'll get you some fuel. Don't worry about it. We're still working on the fuel island, and I'll give you 10 gallons to get you by, to get you to station, because the officers can fuel up off-site at any one of the given police stations that have fuel. And so he backs in, he hops out, he shuts off his truck. I get the handle myself. I throw it in there, and I start pumping. And we're having a little bit of small talk. He's like, hey, when are you going to get him up and all that good stuff? And I was like, I don't know, I'm working on it, and we'll see. You know, as soon as I know, I'll let you all know. And as I'm talking to him, I'm looking at the meter on the trailer pump, and it's at 10 gallons. And all of a sudden, fuel just starts pouring out of the fill port nozzle. And I'm like, what in the world is going on here? And so I pop it off, because it doesn't have a self-pop-off. I pop it off, and I said to him, I said, hey, I thought you told me that your truck was empty. And he's like, well, I thought it was. It was on E. And so I said, turn on your truck. Let's see how much fuel you have, because that's really odd right there. And so he turned on his truck, and he's like, boy, it's on full now. I must have had an air bubble. And I was really like, that's almost when I lost it, because, you know, I've been a technician for 16 years now, you know, and I know these things, and you could tell in his voice too, he's just kind of, yeah, I must have had an air bubble. And I was like, no, I'm not buying that. And, you know, it was very difficult with me, because I know this gentleman, I know his history, I know how he is and what he expects. And I really had a hard time, but I withheld what I truly wanted to say to him about everybody else, how we're rationing the fuel. And I just said, okay, Mr. Officer, have a safe day. Go out there and do what you got to do. Thank you very much. And he wanted to continue and chat, but I was really upset with him. So, you know, I avoided that. And it's just interesting how people in these situations, you know, all these vehicles are coming up. Hey, I'm running on fumes. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. You know, some people that we have in our society, you know, think highly of themselves. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, this selfishness is seen throughout the society in which we live in. But we know we deal with that. And so that was one of those little tests, is my point. And that, you know, the Lord expects us to handle situations even when people are being selfish with themselves, going into it and knowing that this is what the outcome's going to be, to still have the attitude and to have the light that the Lord gave us shine in those situations, or else we're going to fail. But, you know, we did it. We took care of it. It was one of those situations where in the past, I probably could have really, really lost it and lost my self-control. But we know that Satan puts stumbling blocks in our way to help us trip, to help us fall, to be able to disrupt our lives, and to be able to help us, or to be able to give us that fear of the unexpected, to help us be confused, to make us confused, and to not know what to do in certain situations, which would lead to something that would be inappropriate and or something that would be unfruitful for the Lord. And so that's where I wanted to go into 1 Peter chapter 1 and read just a couple verses there, 13 through 15. And I thought this was interesting, because Paul is, or Peter is saying here, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And I never really thought about that. I love that word, gird. I don't say it ever, and I think I'm going to start saying, gird up your loins in your mind. And that word gird is to prepare for action, to muster up one's resources. So gird up the loins of your mind. Be prepared for action. Know what you're going to do and how you're going to do it prior to whatever it is you're going to do, and know and think about what your goal is and reach for that outcome. The goal should be, how does the Lord want me to do this? How does the Lord expect me to act in these situations, and to use one's resources? And that first and foremost resource that we should have is the Lord Himself. He's our number one resource. And He's going to help us be able to overcome. And it says, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You know, before all of this, yeah, I admit, you know, I was ignorant. I didn't know how to act. I didn't know how to behave. And a lot of that was a show of selfishness, you know? It's like being a child and somebody took away my lollipop and I'm going to throw a fit and until I get what I want. Well, in these situations, it doesn't work like that. Life doesn't work like that. So the Lord tells us that we have to be able to be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought is to be brought unto us. And it says in verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, see, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And I heard a lot of conversations going on during this trial this week, and a lot of them weren't pleasant, but I wasn't partaking of that. You know, people were on the phone talking to vendors and trying to figure this all out, and there was some choice words in there that, you know, I didn't want to even have anything to do with. And I knew that if anybody had their eyes on me, I was going to express with all my heart the way that these situations should be handled. A lot of people had said, boy, you really handled that professionally. Boy, that's not what I would have said. But in those situations, there's an expectation as a Christian what the Lord has for us. And to make sure that we do that really made a difference in everybody else that was buried in it with me. And I really appreciated that, Lord. Those were the things where the Lord opened my eyes to see as just a little intricate piece of this whole giant problem, how one little piece can make a difference in all the other pieces. It really works. The Lord has his ability to make things happen. And when we give over ourselves to him, that really shines a lot of times. And I could have been in there, lost control, as some of these older folks have, and just been like everybody else. But the Lord calls us to be higher. He has other expectations for us. And what a blessing it was to be able to and to continue to be one of those examples for the Lord. That's what we should all be exercising. So gird up your loins in your mind. Be prepared for action. Use your resources. Call upon the Lord. Let him work upon your heart before you go out there and you deal with those challenges. And I thought that this followed really nicely with it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read four verses there. It's going to be 5-8. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And so in this type of situation, I was talking to the emergency preparedness manager, Chris, and I was telling him, you know, he said, Gary, you're doing a really, you're doing a great job. We have not skipped a beat in our operations. And he said, I wanted to thank you for that. And I told him, I said, that really puts a lot of wind in my sails, Chris, because this is a very, very heavy burden that I have on me right now. Even though it's an uncontrollable situation, and I want to say it wasn't me, and I wanted to point the finger at somebody else because of what happened, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to serve to the best of our ability, Chris, to be able to make sure these people are taken care of. These are important people that help this airport run, and if whatever I can do, I'm going to diligently do my best to be able to provide what I can for this to be rectified. And he was, you know, really appreciative of that, and he's doing his own thing, so he got me off the hook because we had Gilbarco is the company that provides the dispensers, the fuel pumps to us, and we had a certified technician come out, and we have a system in place to be able to bypass fuel pumps. So now I'm keen to that, and it really helps out in this overall process because Chris saw that all that we were doing, and he wanted to make it even easier. He wanted to lift some of that burden. So what he did is he said, bypass that pump right there, and he's going to bring in a security guard and sit there the whole weekend, 48 hours till we get in Monday morning, to help the operation continue. And I was really thankful for that because I was stressing out about those that were going to be there that we put in place to be able to help out if that wouldn't happen. It's a heavy burden for them as well. And so, you know, the Lord takes care of us. There's these little wins, these little victories, all these little battles that we could put in our lives to help us be able to carry through very, very difficult situations. Little victories, and those little victories that we can expound upon for the Lord to be a testimony of him and how he takes care of us, and that he should be glorified in those situations. And it says in verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that word barren is unproductive, unproductive of results or gain, fruitless, lacking inspiration or ideas. So we, putting our trust in the Lord and receiving that knowledge by requesting from him, through supplication, will give us that ability to no longer be barren, no longer to be fruitful. It's going to be able to give us that ability to overcome those things. But, you know, we all know that Satan wants us to be barren. He wants us to be isolated. I think of barren, too, as being isolated, being without any resources. But Satan, that's his goal. You know, anything he can do to make us stumble, he's in it. He's in it to try to figure that out and try to make us fall, to make us feel as if the Lord's not there for us. Don't feel like that. Don't let him have that victory. All these little things that we could do through supplication of the Lord will give us the ability to have those small victories. And in whatever the Lord's will, his will be done. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to read just two verses there as well. It says here, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence," this is Paul speaking, "not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us." He says right there, you know, Satan's out there to do that. He's out there to stop you from being what the Lord wants you to be. He's out there to try to stop you from being a Christian. He's out there to try to make you fall. He's out there to blind you from those things that the Lord is putting in place for you to see and how to get there and the path to walk. That's Satan's goal. He's been doing it since the beginning. We know that he did that to Eve. There's a good example right here that he did it to Paul. He's doing it to each and every one of us. But those little things that he does, those big things that he does, we know that through the Lord we can overcome. The Lord gives us the strength to do so. He doesn't give us the spirit of fear. We have that holy fear of the Lord's power. That's a good thing. But that spirit of fear is something that Satan puts out there because he doesn't want us to be able to be victorious and to be able to overcome. So in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So keep that in mind. Put that in your mind first and foremost, that we need to resist him. We need to look at all the things that, you know, Satan puts in place. A lot of times when we take shortcuts, what usually happens? We end up doing it again and again and again. I tell a lot of guys at the shop, "Hey, you do it right, you do it light. You do it wrong, you do it long." Well, you know, that's the same thing in a lot of times in our spiritual lives as well. You know, if we really do it right as the Lord calls us to do it, you know, we're not going around and around doing it over and over again. That could be a vicious circle that we get ourselves into, whether it's drugs, alcohol, tobacco, whatever Satan has out there, whatever he puts out there is a sin, that's a temptation. That's what he'll bind us by. Those are those small flaxen cords that he wants to bind us with. So, you know, he's trying to wear you down little by little. You know, he's trying to put that weight on your shoulders. He's trying to drag you down. But, you know, when we act as a Christian, which is contrary to the way that Satan desires, you know, this is when he looks at us and sees that, you know, okay, I got to try somebody else. There's somebody else out there I'm going to go to. And I see that. And I think all of us have that happen to us in our lives. You know, Satan's out there. He's out there to get us, and he's always trying. So in 2 Nephi chapter 1, I'm going to read a few verses here. 121 to 125. Sorry, I don't have the page numbers. It says, "For he seeketh," this is talking about Satan here, "for he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my sons, I would that you should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his commandments You know, look at what the Lord has given us. Hearken unto him. Let his spirit work within you. And it says, and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit, and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. And so a lot of times when we're praying for discernment, you know, as the ministry, as a father, as a husband, as a brother, I'm praying for discernment to be able to not only make the choices that are best for me, but also for the children of God, for those that are struggling. You know, we have a choice. We could choose not to pray. And we know the scriptures tell us that that's Satan's device as well, to tell you that you don't need to pray. 2 Nephi chapter 12 verses, oh, Gage should know this, but I'm not going to put you on the spot, Gage. But Satan tells us and teaches us, and he wants us to not pray, because he knows that if you take that that part of the formula, the equation, that he has that opportunity to come in and to be able to have that control over to you and to drag you down. So understand that you know, this life, we have a lot of choices to make, and some of those choices can be difficult, but through supplication, through reaching out to the Lord, he will give us that ability to make the right decision. That's something that we should be praying about, is that wisdom, the knowledge, and discernment to do those things according to the Lord's will. Help us be able to make clear and thoughtful decisions and to have that charity. So in Romans, I'm going to go there, chapter 12, verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to live soberly, according as God hath dealt every man to the measure of faith. And, you know, I looked at the situation, and, boy, it was hot. It was really hot this week. And in this situation, I could have sat in my office at 72 degrees for my 8 hours, and I could have passed the buck. And I said to myself, no, I'm not going to do that. There's a lot of people out there trying hard. And in this little portion that I oversee, I'm the captain of this ship. I need to set the example. I need to be that person. I'm not going to think of myself as higher than all these people that are out here. I want people to see that even the guy at the top is serving to the best of his ability. And part of that was getting up, being there before everybody else. It's 113 degrees out. Knowing that, the sun's coming up. You only got a little small canopy where the fuel pumps are under, just like at Circle K or Quick Trip. So at some of the point, the sun's going to come up out of the horizon and start shooting right through and melting you, basically, is what it felt like. It was horrible. I had a lot of salt on me at the end of the day. I was a very salty old man. But I wanted to make sure that everybody was taken care of to the best that I could serve them. Got out the canopy, set it up to where the shade from the sun is going to cast on the folks there. Got out the 10-gallon igloo cooler of water, got the ice, filled it up, brought it out there, set it up, got the cups, got the chairs for some of those folks that are, they've been around a while, and the heat gets to them, so they could sit down and do their work while they're sitting down. Every sunblock, hats, all those things, all those resources that would be done to be able to serve to the best of my ability. You know, I did not want anybody to think or have the impression that I was too good to be out there. I've been out there every day this week, going early, staying late. It's a lot of hard work, and I know a lot of us in our lives every day have a lot of difficult things that we deal with, but the Lord gives us the ability to have strength and to be able to endure. And that's what he asks us to do, to endure to the end. I will endure to the end on this fuel site. Satan will not win. That fuel pump will not win. It's going to work again. Or I'll hook my Suburban up to it and rip it out and get a new one. A lot of people were saying, hey, if you just light a match and, you know, you'll be all right here. But we're going to do it right. So in 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 201, it says here, and it shall come to pass that if the Gentiles shall hearken unto the Lamb of God, and that day he shall manifest himself unto them in word and also in power, in very deed, unto the taking away of their stumbling blocks, if it so be that they harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God. Let the Lord work upon you. Open your heart to him. He will remove those stumbling blocks. And if it so be that they harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God, they shall be numbered among the seed of thy father. And so that's a very important part. And, you know, the Lord, he shows us things. And, you know, when your eyes are open to the scriptures, and when you see and you apply those things, you see the beauty of those scriptures and the promises that go with them. It gives you the foresight to be able to see the goal, not just day by day, but in life. It helps you be able to see that finish line more clearly, to not have confusion, to be undecisive. All those things start to go away. And I'm learning that as I go along in the spiritual walk. You know, some of us are going to enter into our spiritual walk today. Some of us have been here for, I don't know, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. And it's interesting because every one of us are continuously learning of how we handle ourselves in life. And day by day, the Lord is there for us to help us be able to overcome the stumbling blocks. And so back to 2 Timothy. Where did I read that? Was that? Oh, that's because it's here, not there. Yeah. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I read verse 7 towards the beginning of the sermon. I'm going to finish up with verses 8 and 9 in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So I'm going to start with 7, though, again. I'll put these two next to each other. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This was all set in place before the world began. So that is my thoughts and my prayers for each and every one of us in this walk of life through these trials and tribulations, that, you know, seek the Lord. Take heed of those words that he gives us. Learn about those things that are important for your spiritual walk and how we should act and behave in doing so. And the Lord will be there each and every day. He'll give us those victories. He'll help us be able to understand. He'll help us be a light. He'll help us be fruitful. And with that, I thank the Lord for that. And that's what makes us who we are, God's children. So God bless each and every one of you. And you'll continuously be in my thoughts and prayers and all those that have live streamed. Thank you for your time.